Mr. Godwin, Reel 4. Now, tell us about the ARP you joined. Which one did you join? The local one in Barkingville. Did it have a number or anything?
I joined at Barking. I was on post 14. Like my so-called mother's lover, he was a post warden. But I went there as a messenger to start off with.
Now, and what training and what duties did you have as a messenger at post 14?
You never got any training. You never had training then. But the duties was laid down by the post warden on that particular post. And being that I was a messenger, I was on a cycle whereby you had to, if there's any messages where they couldn't use a phone, I had to cycle to wherever it was, like within the area, to any post or back to headquarters, which was at Eastbury House. And that lasted for about 6 months, and then I was upgraded to a warden, which meant going out, you had duty nights.
Now, was it still at post 14? Did you take over?
Still at post 14. And when your duty night came up, you was on duty for that night, and you was patrolling the area at all times, especially during the raids.
Now, what do you remember of your duties? You know, what would happen? Anything you remember?
Oh, I can remember one occasion. It was one Sunday when we had aircraft come down, German aircraft come down, and there was people, like, it was a Sunday dinner time. And I was on duty that Sunday, but most of the wardens was all in the pub having a drink. Well, I was staying down by the post, which was nowhere near the pub. And this aircraft came down, machine gunning right the way down through the road, which was Lodge Avenue, which is a very long road. And he was machine gunning in the middle of the road, and there was a woman carrying a baby. And through her running to the side of the road, she dropped this baby. She turned to pick it up. A warden grabbed hold of her, and he threw her against the wall, because all the, at that time, no matter wardens, firemen, no matter what, obviously had their chin helmets on. They used to throw the helmets back against over the people who, if anything happened, it was going to hit the helmets. But there was one particular person, which was my friend's father. And he laid in the middle of the road over this baby, spread-eagled. And the machine gunning went right down between his legs. And it didn't start again until it passed him. And we've never forgotten that. And he was never even mentioned.
And which road was this?
This was in Lodge Avenue.
Lodge Avenue
in Dagenham. And
what were you doing during this?
Well, I've come out the post, which was the other side of the bridge. And I'm doing likewise with my chin helmet, halfway on my head and halfway on the... People were up against the wall. And you could only stand there and hope for the best that nothing happened. But on that same Sunday, another aircraft came down, and he apparently had been shot. He's following the first one down, but he was dropping incendiary bombs. They weren't eating any property, they was going in gardens. But there was one particular, one of these incendiary bombs, dropped in the middle of the road. And there was a chap there whose wife owned a drapery shop. And he picked it up, it never exploded. And he was throwing it in the air for it to hit the ground to explode it. And that's where the police came in, which pinched him and all, because the wardens had everything to do to throw sandbags on had the stirrup pumps going in case that exploded. But I was putting the others out in the gardens, but he was trying to explode this one. I think he got 6 months.
He was just being irresponsible. He was being irresponsible.
Oh, yeah. True right he was. He thought he was being clever.
Any other air raids or stories of the air raids you remember?
Well, mostly with the night times, because the raids always started somewhere around about 9, 10 o'clock at night, which meant that any raid that came on, whether you was on duty or off duty, you was on duty as soon as the raid started. Well, what we used to do was, most of the people used to leave their side gates open, and we could walk in the gardens because of the Anderson shelters there, and go and check on them. And that's how we patrolled, checking on people in their shelters if they find out if they're okay, if there was anything they wanted. And if you saw anyone about, you had to tell them, get undercover. The raid was on because we never knew what was going to happen because all we had was shrapnel and everything else falling around from gunfire. We did have, there was a mobile gun that used to come out of Barking Park and used to travel, such as Longbridge Road, Ripple Road, and it'd stop anywhere. And there was nothing to, for him to fire a gun from there. Whoopish. Used to make us jump anyway. We saw it, that had been going up. But other than that, everything was going along fine.
What was the post like? You know, can you describe post 14? What was it like?
Well, actually, the post was a small brick concrete building. It was solid concrete. You couldn't put three people in there to stay, like, to sleep. There was only one person could sleep in there. But there was always two full-time wardens on the night and during the day. Because I was a volunteer. There was more volunteers than there was permanent. We never got paid where they did get paid. All it was when you was going on duty, you go on to that post. Report, which we had to get out because of somebody else coming in to report. You couldn't get no more than three in there.
And then what was there in there? Any?
Well, telephone, that's all. There was telephone, logbooks, etc. And there was one bunk. That's all there was. And a chair. That's all they can get in there. And there was just a small table. A table, not much bigger than that. That they kept their books and the phone on.
What sort of uniform did you have, first as a messenger and then as a warden, if any?
Wardens and messengers all had the same old uniform. When I first went in, we had boiler suits, navy boiler suits, with the words ARP on the pocket. But then when they changed over from ARP, which was, I'd been in there, 8 months.
When did you start? I should have asked that before as a messenger. Was that November 40 when you got back to
Barking? That was in 1940.
So back end of when you got back?
Yeah. You see, well...
Sorry, you were telling me about the change in uniform.
And they changed over ARP to Civil Defence. Now, we was issued then with a navy blue battle dress with CD on it. And we also got berries with CD on it. But we still kept the boiler suits, like in case we had save our uniforms, in case we got involved in any bomb damage or had to do any clearing or anything like that. But as far as it went, uniform, as I say, overalls, boiler suit, and then the battle dress. But as far as the volunteers was concerned, there was only ever issued one of each, whereas the full-time got two of each.
Now, you were a volunteer or...
I was a volunteer.
Were you being paid a bit?
No.
You weren't paid at all?
Never got paid a penny. You see, we were volunteers, we were free.
Now, what about your work? I believe you went to work for a timber.
Thames Plywood. That was in Arts Lane in Balkin. And,
was it a timber merchant or just plywood?
Plywood. They used to cut the veneers there and also make the ply boards up. And one of their big monopolies were they used to make ply boards for aircraft carriers. And these boards were somewhere around about 60 feet long and 62 inches wide. But another of their monopolies was what they called aircraft. That was a very thin ply which they used to use for making the Spitfires and the Mosquitoes. And they'd done all that.
Now, what was your job for Thames?
Well, when I first went in there, I was what they called the lackey. You done odd jobs in regards to veneering, like stacking veneers, etc. Well, then I had an accident whereby I had to go on a circular saw to cut veneers to a standard size. And whilst I was on it, I caught my fingers in it, hence my finger in like that, and I was off of work. So when I went back then, I went into what they called the glue shop, which made up the glue for gluing the ply boards or gluing the veneers. But through this accident, my mother's lover went down to the factory. Unbeknownst to me, I started putting in for compensation that I shouldn't have been on that saw.
Without training.
And they never told me this was going on. But when I went back to work, I was told that he had been down there and that the company had paid out 1,100 quid to them. And they never even told me about it. So I never, because I was unfamiliar with compensation, works compensation like that. But he knew about it, and they got this money and never said a word to me about it. But when I went back, I was put in, as I say, a glue shop, whereby I made up the glue. There was only two of us. There was a glue maker and myself. We made up the glue for the veneers for making these ply boards. Well, after a short time in there, I was moved over onto the press where they actually made the boards. After, a fortnight, because I was on what they called a wet core, whereby the women used to put the cores into the machine, and as it came through, it glued out the other end, and I used to take it and lay it on the tables. Well, there was somebody there always laying these boards up. You just give them the wet core. Well, after a short while, I was promoted to one of these tables to lay up the ply boards. So somebody else was feeding me to make up the ply boards. And once I got on that, I had to go night work as well, which meant me going at 8 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock next morning. As you can understand, 12-hour shift. As soon as I got home, it was time to go to bed. And I used to stay there as long as I possibly could. But sometimes I might, very rare, would I wake up at lunchtime. But if I woke up at lunchtime, I don't know more, I used to go pictures or something, because I couldn't stay around the house.
Because of your mother's friend, yeah. Now, one thing, you've got a story about an air raid where you saw a dogfight above. What do you remember of that?
Well, that was in this area. That was on this particular Sunday, actually, when they They come down machine gunning. There was a dogfight that we can watch from there, from where I was on duty. But just up here by Gale Street, where the station is, we can see this dogfight going on up there with the Spitfires, etc. And we thought it was a German plane that was coming down. But it happened to be one of our own Spitfires, and he hit the corner shop just by the station, which used to be Spices and Fruiters. And he came down and hit there. Well, the chap who bailed out, he landed in Parsloe's Park. And everyone was going to lynch him. They all thought he was a German. They all thought he was German. But he managed to, in time, strip up, pull his uniform levers off to reveal the RAF uniform underneath. Of course, they would have lynched him. And it was only a young fellow. And that dogfight went on for a couple of hours, that dogfight. Well, it was good to see, but knowing today, it's not what I would like to have seen.
Now, how about life at home? It was getting worse from what...
Oh, gosh, yeah. Not my cup of tea. Well, it wasn't for none of us in the house anyway. Not even for my younger brothers and sisters. It wasn't no good for them. But one after one, they all left home. Then they went back, then they left again, because they just couldn't put up with him. He was too dogmatic. It was one of those questions like from the younger brothers. Clean your boots, get your hands out your pockets, oh God. And my mother never sat down to a meal with us. She'd give us our meal, but he wouldn't sit with us, so she wouldn't sit with us. So they had their meal on their own after we was all fed. Cleared out, and then they sit down. And they always had a different meal to what we had. A better one.
So what did you decide to do?
Well, I stayed at Thames Power, and I thought myself, well, enough's enough of this. And come 42, I went to Romford recruiting office, and I volunteered for the Navy. You know,
that's April 42.
I shoved my age up. I went on a year, and when they asked for my address, I had to explain to them. I said, well, I most probably won't get the mail, but can you send it to another address? Oh, yeah. They didn't argue. Well, my number, the address I lived was 427. Well, my friend lived in 429. So I had it sent to his address. And I made arrangements with his mother. And I said to her, look, I volunteered for the Navy. I said, no, I'm not told no one indoors, and I'm not going to. But if any papers turn up for me, can you hold them back until you see me? It wasn't long after, a matter of days or a week, I get a letter from Romford to go for a medical.
No, that was in May 42. What do you remember of the medical?
Pardon?
What do you remember of the medical? How strict was it?
Oh, it was a strict medical. Everything off by on your bloody boots. You strip down to your birthday suit, and they really thoroughly examined you. And I was told that day, you're A1. Fair enough. Well, they said, oh dear. Well, in June, I get another letter turned up through the same source to let me know that I was to report to Romford on the 10th of June. So back over to Romford, I met quite a few more chaps over there, all going in the Navy.
Now, what did your mother and her friend
She
think?
Didn't know.
You never told her even when you went?
No. She didn't know. All I said to her, the only thing I said to her, I said, I've packed up my job at Thames Ply. I'm going for another job. She didn't know where. I said, but I want you to look after this for me. And I gave her my savings. We used to collect every week. We used to have money stocked out of our wages to buy certificates, savings certificates, which we, that time was 15 shillings a time. So it used to go on for 6p or sixpence per certificate. Well, my mother knowing this, she was very reluctant to spending money, so she said, I'll have sixpence off. So I booked in for one certificate for her and I took the rest. I paid the rest, she paid sixpence every week. So one certificate was for her. But I asked her to look after that book of saving certificates for me. So I says, and when I come home, I'll draw your one out. But once I got in the Navy, or once I got my uniform, I had to send me civilian clothes home. So I thought, well, I've got to send them to my home address. So I sent them home, told her I was now in the Navy.
How did she react?
I'll give her my official number and my address at Collingwood. And I remember getting a nasty letter back from her. You've made your bed, now lie on it.
Now, what the trip to Collingwood? Collingwood's Port Fareham, isn't it? Yes, it's Fareham.
HMS Collingwood.
What do you remember the trip there? You met these lads at the station.
Yeah, but, all right, we all made friends. Like, we was taken to a station, we was all made friends. We had to go, we was all given a railway warrant. We had to go to Portsmouth. We was picked up at Portsmouth and taken to Collingwood in Fareham.
That's a shore station, isn't it? It's a shore station.
Yeah. It was a shore base, it was a training establishment.
Now, what was your reception when you got there? You know, how did it? Because, you know, when you get there, it's a bit of a big thing going in through the gates, the rest of it.
Well,
how did they sort of treat
you? Well, we were taken through by the vehicle that picked us up at the station. And as we got through the gate, we all had to get out this lorry. And we all had to stand to attention on the roadside outside the office. And then you got the skipper of the establishment come out and welcome you in. And he says, as from now on, you are under our care. And you do what we tell you and not what you want to do. and that was the first time I did, like, such as, you got the order of left turn and quick march. And there was all of us marching down the road with a case in our hand and a parcel in our hand, and that was it. But then we was all taken to various parts of the camp. Well, all the chaps who came with me all went into one up, which was in the foretop division, and I was in 4R. And we was all in the one up.
Now, what was the hut like? What do you remember of the hut? Because that's where you'd be living.
The yachts held 60 men. There was 15 either side of the yacht, double bunks, top and bottom. And one of the orders was the PO who took over, who was taking us over. He says, I want the biggest of the men on the bottom bunks and the smallest on the top bunk. So I had to climb up. And there was as many small ones as there was big ones.
What else was there in the room? There was the beds. Did you have lockers or... lockers? Did you have lockers?
Oh, we had lockers, yeah. You had lockers, like, for each person. And those lockers were spick and span. As you got your gear, you had to put it in there.
Nothing. Well, tell us about the kitty now, because what uniform and kit did you get?
We got two uniforms, complete uniforms.
Now, what was a complete uniform? What was it? What did you get?
The complete uniform was socks, boots, the trousers, the tunic, two white fronts. Oh, you got three underpants, three vests, your black silk, two collars, and one hat. That was your uniform. Well, you also got a kit bag, a weekend case, you got housewife, hat box, and the housewife was in a small metal box. Shoe brushes, polish, everything, even down to a toothbrush. And there was combs, everything that you needed that you would have normally had if you had a good home. But then you was issued with hammock, mattress, one blanket, and that was that. But then we had to go from there. We had to go down and we was issued with a name stamp and a wooden stamp with your name on and a wooden stamp with your official number on. And they gave you a pad to go with them and you had to mark everything that was issued you with your name and official number. Collars, uniform was in white letters. And everything else was in black. Oh, they also issued you with a overcoat and an oilskin. And from that, we all had to go and have another medical. So we all go down, short arm inspection and everything else. We was marched down to the pay office.
What happened at the pay office?
Well, at the pay office, picked up a pay book, identity disc, and a ship's card. That was your ship's number, like what division you was in. And they informed you of what your pay was, which he was all interested in, but we never knew. They said, as ordinary seamen, you get 3 shillings a day, payable every fortnight. So we thought we were going to be without money now for a fortnight, other than what we got in our pockets. We weren't allowed outside the camp.
Now, hang on. What about the barbers? You went to the barbers as well.
Well,
now, how long was your hair, and how much was it cut?
I just as I am now, I had short hair. I'd only just had it cut before I went in, the day before. And they took the lot off. Everyone, they weren't barbers, they were butchers. They just took the whole lot off, no matter how good they were.
Now how short was it then? How short did they leave it?
Well, if you can imagine getting the clippers and just going over your head.
So like a skinhead cut almost?
Yeah, it was as short as it is now. And they just took the lot off. But These blokes who was barbers, they get a clown sitting in a chair and says, well, how would you like your hair? Short back and sides, or a Boston. Well, you get some of them who had their hair all shaped at the back. So I says, I would just take a little bit of an extra sort and come over the top. And, all right, it annoyed some of the blokes, but it was pleasing some of us to see it, but I couldn't care because I always had short hair. But